Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, I think we can confidently say again that markets are relatively slow, relatively muted in terms of their moves. We have, let's say, gold up just a little bit, S&P, Dow, they're right around flat, but they've been choppy all day. It just continues to be a pretty boring trade, as I think the markets and really everybody, including myself, are waiting for this U.S. election to get behind us. And now we only have like a week left, but we don't know how long the mail-in votes will take to count or any contested election that could happen here. But look, one thing that does seem to be happening for these markets is they are pricing in a so-called blue wave. That's why we're not seeing a broad sell-off into this election, which we usually do, especially during these type of contentious elections. Well, the markets seem fairly comfortable with pricing in this blue wave, which means that we will get some sort of a government stimulus package passed. Let's just go down this road right now and say that we do get some sort of a blue wave and the Democrats are able to produce some sort of a spending package. Where do you see that stimulus hitting in financial markets?
Great to be on, Corey. And yeah, I think the whole blue wave scenario, it's pretty much the base case for Wall Street. And what we're seeing is that I think many traders, they're expecting the great rotation to continue. The Democrats will really kind of try to push their support to Corona relief efforts, infrastructure spending. You're going to expand their healthcare benefits. You're going to see that clean energy initiatives really take off, and this is trillions and trillions of dollars, anywhere to be 5 to 7 trillion. Some people are forecasting, but the stimulus is really going to benefit all those beaten down sectors. I think you're going to see that financials will become a little bit more attractive. I think the reflation trade will slowly start to creep back, and I think when we take a look at the likelihood that you're going to get that blue wave, President Trump in all these polls really is not showing much of a bump in that last debate. So I think you're seeing this record turnout in early voting. It's well over a third of the vote is in, and you're probably going to see them. I think investors are going to, really have a choppy trading conditions for this next week and even slightly longer, because we're probably going to see that on election day, the in-person voting is going to be probably pretty solid for the president, and that mail-in voting, which for some states is not really taking place until later that next or the next day, you're going to see there's going to be moments where it looks like the president might have some strong momentum. So I think the election uncertainty is going to persist as far as possibly a few days. From what I'm seeing and from the pockets of friends that I have across the country, there's just a significant, flipping of casual Trump voters in 2016, people who like his refreshing outlook. He's not a politician, but I think he's lost a lot of that vote. And if you look at the demographics, he's struggling with white women. He's struggling with a lot of these key minority groups that he's been targeting. And I think you're going to see that this election is likely to have a decisive outcome, I think, in the coming days after November 3rd. But the big question mark is going to be that Senate race. And right now it's too close to call. I think, yes, it's still the base case is that the Democrats will win the Senate back, but we could see that it could come down to a state or two. And the problem is that if we have to have a runoff election, like for instance with Georgia, you have to have over 50% of the vote in, and there's an independent running. And if they have a runoff, that may mean we not get the Senate outcome until January. So that could be like a very disruptive outcome to the stimulus trade that, I think so many people are trying to price in. So I think there's still a lot of uncertainty going into this election. The overall outcome as far as who will win, I think, everyone is comfortable with the Biden outcome. And I think you have to take that with a grain of salt. I know the pollsters say they've accommodated for their 2016 mistake. They've now included a good part of the Trump base that they missed. And we'll see. But I mean, right now, you take a look at the undecided voters, it's like half of what it was in 2016. So I think there's strong optimism that they're going to get it right this time, and like they did in 2018. And we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. But, to your point there, if we don't have some of the solid results until, for some areas, even up until January, then that could maybe cause some uneasiness in the markets. But again, these markets just seem to be looking past any of the recent question marks around the world, quite frankly, and they seem to just push these markets higher. But going back to my initial question then, if we do get the stimulus package, whether it comes in December, whether it comes in 2021, whenever that stimulus package is announced and money starts to flow out of the government, what sectors in the market does this money land in? Which ones outperform in your eyes?
Well, I think what you're going to see, and right now we're sort of seeing it today. I think we're right now, when you take a look at what's been rallying, utilities have been doing, performing a lot better. I think financials are going to start to become a little bit more attractive. Those consumer stocks are going to really be, I think, the big catalyst. And when we take a look at infrastructure spending, industrials, that's going to be, I think, their moment in the sun. I think you're going to see that. People are going to be, jumping back on the commodity bandwagon. The base metals are going to become extremely attractive as you see, huge infrastructure and clean energy initiatives where we'll see all these charging stations across the country. I think there's strong upside here for a lot of these sectors that have underperformed. And I think, I'm not saying everything's going to go up. I think what you're going to see, too, is tech. This is, tech has saved the stock market, I think, for the most, well, the Fed has saved the stock market, but the tech sector has really generated a lot of new interest and provided a big, I think, a portion of the rally that we've seen throughout this pandemic, the stay-at-home trade. And what we're probably going to see is that, the Biden administration is going to be a little bit tougher on tech. You're going to see those taxes really start to weigh in on their profits. You're going to see also regulation become a lot harder. These antitrust hearings are perfectly timed. I think there's going to be growing expectations that it's going to be a little bit harder. These tech giants and their monopolistic, I guess, scenarios are have been well telegraphed. They're prepared for the legal fight, and they're at the very least that, if their companies do have to spin off, they'll still be successful. But you're going to see the tech trade lose some momentum. And I think we're starting to see that already in this earnings season. I think it's been pretty interesting to watch how some of these tech giants have performed so far. And I think, taking a look at Netflix, disappointing results, that's mainly a competition thing. But their shares were lower. Tesla, they really crushed it, but they had a little bit of an underperformance considering their results. I think tonight we're going to get results from Microsoft. And Microsoft has been one of the best, earnings reporters of date. I mean, they've had over 14 consecutive quarters of EPS growth. And in addition to that, they had revenue growth that's been over 10% for the last 12 quarters. This time they're forecasting high single digits. So you're going to start to see that, the tech trade is seeing some headwinds here. And if Microsoft doesn't kind of, overachieve, which is, this is kind of the first time we're starting to see sub 10% plus growth, which, most companies would die for, you could continue to see some weakness in these mega cap tech stocks. And I think that's why you're starting to see the whole sector kind of underperform, especially during earnings season. They've been the worst performing sector. And, everything comes to a halt on Thursday when we get, the Apples, the Amazons, the Facebooks, and Google reporting. So I think there's a lot of cautiousness going into tech into this week. And I think you're going to see that will really kind of keep any huge gains, because I think, you know, in order for stocks to really climb higher, you can't just have it be a cyclical rotation. You still need to have the tech sector providing them some upside here. So it's a lot to follow, a lot to track. And I think, you know, we really, you know, earnings really isn't counting this this go around. But I mean, as you highlighted earlier, no one's really providing strong outlooks or providing guidance until we have this COVID under control. And, you know, corporations are taking advantage of that. Let's just use that as an excuse. We don't want to tie ourselves, because if for some reason you don't perform, if you miss your guidance, you know, you've been paying a tall price, and that's been very clear in this earnings season.
Yeah, in all fairness, well, it was something that you and I talked about, is that going through this earnings season, no one seems to care what the actual earnings are. Everyone's just watching the forward guidance, and none of the forward guidance is all that optimistic or actually all that clear either. You can't blame companies for saying that they just don't know how this whole COVID second wave is going to turn out. But to your point here of the tech sector starting to lag a little bit, the argument is being that it is making the markets a little bit stronger when it comes to breadth, when it comes to overall participation, because some of these lagging sectors are starting to play catch up. What about the US dollar, though? If we do get that spending package, does that solidify the dollar in this lower trading range, or even make the dollar break down further, even though the rest of the world, they're dealing with COVID breakouts again, and most likely they're going to be spending massive amounts of money again?
Well, and I think you have a combination of things that are going to put the dollar on softer footing next year. The Fed has done their job as far as sending a clear message. You know, the interest rates are not moving anytime soon. And while I'm optimistic that the second half of 2021 will you know, probably have them move the bar closer to when they might consider raising rates. The Fed has clearly shown that they're going to be the last advanced economy that's going to raise rates. And that's going to provide a big incentive for those high beta currencies. The stimulus trade just cements that. I think that, you know, all that infrastructure spending, the balance sheet will grow. It's just going to provide, you know, further pressure on the dollar. And I think despite, you know, what we're seeing right now on the virus, it's pretty impressive considering how strong the euro has been throughout their second wave here. And it's really amazing considering how, you know, Germany's considering light lockdowns. But it's all across the European continent. They're having all these restrictive measures, a lot worse than what we're seeing right now in the U.S. And I think that, you know, the resilience of the euro is really something to say, because you're going to see that their central banks, their governments are going to provide more accommodation, but nothing is going to, you know, it's going to pale into comparison to the Fed and what Congress does if we do have that blue wave. So I think there's a lot of optimism here that you know the stimulus trade is not going away in 2021. It's going to be front loaded in the first half of the year, and that's going to be pretty positive for risky assets in general. And it should help kickstart that emerging market recovery. Which remember, their economic recoveries are, you know, lagging tremendously. You're especially across LATAM and the Africa region. I think you're going to see that you're going to have better upside there with emerging markets once the, you know, the optimism is that you know, these virus treatments and vaccines are more readily available for these emerging market regions. So I think there's good upside here for the high beta currencies, and then eventually you're going to see people just pile into EM, and that's going to just, you know, right, accelerate that dollar weakness in 2021.
All right, we'll wrap it up there, Ed. Look, there's a lot going on in these markets, but the fact of the matter is we're just not seeing that high volatility, even though, let's say, the VIX is hanging up fairly well. So the VIX is telling us that people aren't as easy or as comfortable as the markets might tell you, but overall, let's get this election behind us. Let's get some sort of a government spending program through, whatever that might be, And let's see how the market digests that, because it's never as simple or as straightforward as we all think when it comes to all that free money that lands in usually big institutions' pockets. But we'll see if it trickles down to the small guys, and we'll see what they do with that money. Hey, Ed, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this Tuesday. I'll chat with you next week, probably after the election. So, hey, Ed, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.